A very good evening to you. So glad to have you in this evening service. I know that, in fact, all of you have stayed on after the morning service to be in this evening meeting. I'm sure your presence is a blessing both to me and to others. Now, I want to speak on the topic, a new creation in Christ. I know that this is not a new topic. Pastors, preachers have spoken on it. There are many articles written about it. My intention is not to arouse your interest on some new things, but to encourage you. There's a documentary film in Singapore, or documentary program, I should say, in Singapore called Turning Point. I know it is not shown here, but there are show of the similar nature. This program featured changed lives who had early on brushes with the law of the country. I remember watching the last one. It was about a young girl by the name of Hui Ling. She caught my attention because her name was very close to my daughter's name. My daughter's name is Hui Ning. And this girl, Hui Ning, came from a broken family. Since young, she lived with the grandma and her aunt. The relationship with the grandmother was not good. They often argued over small, trivial matters. The show said that she skipped school and spent time with a group of friends who were glue sniffers. Soon she left school and moved to her boyfriend's house. He was a drug addict, and she started to experience drug. Eventually, the aunt turned her in to the police. She was given home detention. In other words, she has to remain at home, alright, for the time stipulated by the law. And in Singapore, in most occasions, 7 in a night, right up to 7 in the morning. Okay. And she was warned to keep away from drugs. Unfortunately, she went back to taking drugs, and this time she was sent to the prison. While in prison, a counselor visited her regularly, and they developed a bond and true friendship. Upon her release from prison, she went back to school. But there was no school who wanted to take her in because she was overage for the secondary school education. Eventually, the counselor managed to persuade a certain school, and the principal decided to give her a chance. She did well in her secondary school education, and she went on to study in the polytechnic. The documentary ended with these words: Hui Ling is a new person. Today, Hui Ling is free from drugs and is helping young people to keep away from it. And the program says that she has now a stable job. And the interesting thing is that the commentary says that she's attending church regularly. Before the program ended, she said these few words. She says that there are two persons in my life that have wrought the change. One, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the second person is Xin Tong, her counselor. I was quite touched by this documentary. Okay. There were many similar stories in this program called The Turning Point. There was one about this young man who was a drug addict, and then at the age of 18, he took drug and he jumped from 18th story in his grandmother's flat. He did not die. It was a miracle that he survived. When he came to our church to shed, some elderly people asked, is that true that he fell from such a height and he survived? And this is true because God has his divine providence, spared him, so that they can be a witness for him. But what I want you to see today is that these are life change and it is a complete change. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17, Paul says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. This is a positive change, meaning that the change is from bad to good, from hate to love, from vengeance to forgiveness. And we know that the girl Hui Ling has this change, both in her nature and in her spiritual state. She kept away from drugs and today is trusting in Jesus Christ for her salvation. Now, Paul wrote this book of the 2 Corinthians, and in particular, chapter 5, verse 17, as a way of relating his personal experience. Paul, who was called Saul before he became a Christian, was a hater of Christianity. He thought that it was his duty to put a stop in the spread of Christianity by killing the believers. The Bible says that he consented to the death of Stephen by stoning. And this is recorded for us in Acts chapter 7 and chapter 8. Historically, at that time, Paul alone had done great harm to the church, more than any other enemy of the church. However, one day, Paul was on his way to Damascus to arrest the Christian. Jesus appeared to him, and that experience left him without sight for 3 days. We were told that a disciple of Jesus named Ananias was sent to restore Paul's vision. But Ananias was afraid to go because he has heard that Paul had done many evil things on the saints. However, God assured him that Paul was a different person now, and he went and laid his hand on the eyes of Paul, and his eyes were open. After Paul believed in Jesus Christ, he went into the synagogue to preach Christ. In verse 17, we see in verse 17 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, there are two great truths. These two great truths concerns the changes in the life of a person who believes in Jesus Christ. First of all, we want to see that there is a change, a positive change. Secondly, we want to see that there is not only a change positively, but there is also a change in the character of that person. Paul says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Now, if you look at the verse carefully, he started the verse by saying, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. If we look at the context of this verse, starting from verse 1, he was talking about an old and a new tabernacle. We know that the tabernacle is a tent-like structure where the Jews or the Israelites worshipped in the olden days. However, in the context of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul obviously is not talking about the tent. He is talking about a body. He's talking about our body as a tabernacle. He's talking about this old body that one day corrupt and decay. However, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, he's giving us a new tabernacle, a new body. And this body is new because the person who is in this body is in Jesus Christ. And therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. So as Paul has said, he has a new tabernacle. It is a totally new structure. It is a complete change. And in this change, we see, first of all, that there is a change in position. We are told that a Christian is in Christ. His position now is he is in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are three stages of the human soul in connection with Christ. The first stage, we say that a person is without Christ. The second stage, when a person put his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, he is in Christ. And with the second stage, then there is the hope of the third stage, where the Bible says that the person will be with Christ. The first stage of being without Christ is the worst of all stage, obviously. C.H. Spurgeon made this remark when he made mention of a people without Christ. He says, it is a most unhappy condition to be without Christ. And he illustrates the statement this way. He says, a man may be at a banqueting table, but maybe without food, unless he puts his hand to grasp that which is provided. Now what Spurgeon is saying is this, that today there are many people who claim to know Christ, people who claim even to know the Bible. But it is not enough to know Christ, the Bible. It is not enough to attend church. Spurgeon is saying that these people have not gone a step further to lay hold of Christ. To put that simply, he has not put his faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And therefore, his remark was that a man without Christ is the most unhappy man. And Paul was a very unhappy man before he became a Christian. We were told that he was a persecutor of the church. Before his conversion, he was on his way to arrest the Christian. We can see in his heart and mind that was full of hatred and evil intent. Okay, I'm going to arrest the Christian. I'm going to put them in prison. And if they refuse to deny faith in Jesus Christ, I'm going to torture them, I'm going to put them to death. Now such a man will never be happy because his heart is filled with hatred and evil intent. But Paul became a Christian and now he understood being a Christian, he has a new life in Christ. Now I'm going to talk more about this second stage, new life in Christ, later on. But I've said earlier on that having had the second stage, a new life in Christ, we have the hope of the final stage, that is one day to be with Christ. Paul's assurance of salvation is evident in Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 to 23. Let's turn to these few verses. Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 to 23. He says, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I would not. For I am betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. You see, Paul was betwixt. One is the desire to depart to be with Christ. And then subsequent verse says, to remain on the earth and continue serving God. However, he says, to be with Christ, which is far better.
See, this is the evidence of Paul's salvation. Right? He understands that having the hope of being in Christ, he has the hope of one day to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God. All of us who have put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have this hope that one day we will be with him in his Father's house. That is the promise. When Jesus says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If you were not so, I tell you, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and receive you unto myself." One day, the Lord Jesus Christ will receive us unto himself. Now, coming back to the second stage, where Paul says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. I said that the first thing we see in this new creation is that a person has a new position. A change in position. He is now in Christ. Alright? He's no more one that belongs to the world. And much more, he is not one who belongs to the devil. We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. To be in Christ is important for several reasons. One, it is important for our salvation. You see, we all come from Adam. He was the forefather of the human race. Adam sinned in the taking of the fruits of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The result is that the entire human race born after Adam fell into sin. Therefore, the Bible says, in Adam, we all died, but in Christ, we are made alive. Adam was disobedient, but Christ was obedient even unto death, the death of the cross. That's what the Bible tells us, and Christ died on the cross. And we are told that the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ is a propitiation for all our sin. Therefore, when we put our trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, God forgives our sin and imputes righteousness unto us, thus declaring us sinless before God. It is important that we know we are saved. Secondly, to be in Christ is important for our safety. We must be in Christ for our safety. You remember, in the beginning of time, God told Noah to build an ark. And Noah was told to bring all men who believe in him into the ark. Unfortunately, at the end, there were only 8 persons who entered into the ark. By the way, if you know the Chinese character for the ark, which is translated as Zhou Chuan, okay, you will notice that the letter itself are made of 3 different words. Zhou, Ba, Kou. In other words, in that boat, there were 8 persons. Ba Kou is the Chinese way of saying 8 persons. Not literally 8 mouthful. Okay? But 8 persons. You see, this is a very good evidence that the Chinese knew the story of the flood long ago. So that when men decided to write the word sheep, they had this story in mind. Zhou Ba Kou. And that is the word for boat, which is translated ark in our English Bible. Now, the ark was a type of Jesus Christ. When the animals and Noah and his family entered into the ark, they were kept safe from the flood. Likewise, when we enter into Jesus Christ, alright, who is the ark of God, the Bible says that we are kept safe in the day of judgment. It is appointed unto man once to die.
and thereafter judgment.
We all know that one day all men, great and small, will have to stand before God in judgment. See, who is saved at the time of judgment?
The Bible says that they that are in Christ are saved.
Now, in the olden days, Moses appointed cities around the land of Canaan.
And these cities are called refuge places.
These refuge places are appointed for people who unintentionally killed another man, so that the man who committed manslaughter unintentionally could go for refuge.
See, at that time they do not have courts of law.
And the tendency is that if a person is killed, the family will come after the murderer. And they will not consider the fact of the matter.
That means they will not debate and say, oh, whether, you know, the killing was intentional or unintentional. Right?
So the killing could be unintentional. But we find that men will naturally take the law into their own hand. Alright, they will go after the murderer, the so-called murderer. Now, to preserve the life of this man who has unintentionally killed others, God has appointed cities of refuge. And they are told to run into this city of refuge if they have committed an unintentional murder. And when they are in the city of refuge, the law says that the avenger of blood, that means any of the family members of the deceased, cannot enter into the city and seek vengeance on their own accord. See? And then in the city, there will be judges who will decide whether the person who has committed manslaughter is guilty of murder or not. This city is another fine example of a person in Christ. See? We are not guiltless. We all have sinned. But God has appointed a very special city. This city is inverted comma. This city is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul clearly says that unless we are in Christ, there will be no safety. So I say that to be in Christ is important because this is a place of safety. Thirdly, to be in Christ is important for our spiritual stability and strength. Now I want to add spiritual stability and strength. We can keep ourselves healthy by eating the right kind of food. Some people are healthy because, you know, they have medication to sustain them. Alright? But I'm talking about spiritual stability and strength. In John chapter 15, we are commanded to abide in Christ. Christ is the vine and we are the branches. If the branch does not remain in the tree, it cannot bear fruits of itself. Right? This law of nature is familiar to all of us. The branch derives its nutrients and vitality from the tree. And when the branch remains in the tree, then the Bible says it will bear fruits. And then when God prunes the branches, then the branch will bear more fruits. We are told in another simile, the example of the human body. Christ is the head of the church, and we are the members of this body. There is a vital interconnectivity between the head and the member of the body. To take either one away, whether the head or the body, will result in the instability of the body. For that fact, it will result in
death. See, therefore, it is important that we be found abiding in Christ. Jesus says, if you remain in me and I in you, then you will have life in you and you will bear forth much fruits.
See, therefore, I say that to be in Christ is important for our spiritual stability and strength.
Abiding in Christ is not about salvation. When I use the illustration of the branch and the tree, this illustration, as recorded in John chapter 15, is not about salvation. Right? You know that the Lord Jesus Christ says that if the branch is cut off, it dries up, men pick it up and throw it in the fire, right? And it will be used as fire stick. In that passage, the Lord Jesus is not talking about salvation. He is talking about a fruit-bearing life. He's telling us that we can bear fruit only when we remain in Christ. See, our failure to remain in Christ will result in the weakening of our faith and the ability to bear fruits. Right. So it is important that we remain in Christ. By the way, John chapter 15, many of the statements there are in the imperative. In other words, it is a command. Alright? In other words, we cannot choose, you know, should I remain, should I not remain? Is it good or is it not good? The Word of God gives us a clear, without doubt, the necessity of each one of us as believer of the Lord Jesus Christ to remain in Him. Being in Christ does not only change our position, it also changes our character. In the verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Now, what is meant by being a new creature? Before we look at the meaning, we must look at the statement itself briefly. I believe all men must make a deliberate decision to accept Christ as a Savior. Paul says, therefore if, alright. Now, the word if there is not a if for you to decide. Okay, if you want to eat rice, you eat rice. If you don't want to eat rice, you eat noodles. It's not that choice. Okay. But rather, it is a decision, a deliberate decision to accept Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. It is a clarion call to choose whom you want to believe and serve. When Joshua was at his twilight years, the Israelites were still halting between two opinions. They were half-hearted in their religious practices and belief. We were told that there were people who were still bowing down to Baal. But bearing in mind that at the same time, they were still keeping the Jewish religious practices. And when Joshua, at his old age, knowing that he had not much time on earth, gathered the elders of the tribe of Israel. And then he issued forth this challenge. Now decide, choose whom ye will serve. Jehovah God, he says God, which is Jehovah God. Or the gods that your father worshipped in the other side of the river. Remember before they crossed over to Jordan, they were on the other side of the river and there were heathen nations. People were worshipping idols. And as they were moving towards the promised land, in fact, the people picked up idolatrous practices. You see, and they were, you know, half-hearted in worshipping of God and also at the same time
they were also at a point where they choose to worship idols. Now, in this verse, in 2 Corinthians, we see that there is also a promise. If any man be in Christ, the promise is that he is a new creature. Alright? Now, the new creature has three aspects. I want to quickly look at the three aspects of the new creature. First of all, when Paul says that a man in Christ is a new creature, he is talking about a radical change. It's a complete change. Now, the world today is talking about image changes. Both in the person and in the company. Right? Now, when we talk about an image change in a person, we are talking about, oh, the person needs to change his hairstyle, his dressing, you know, and perhaps he might need to do some cosmetic changes to his outward appearance. So I remember there was a show teaching people how to go for interview. And so you want to go for interview, then you must have image change. You must go and present confidence, right? So your hair must be combed neatly, you know, a certain style. Dressing must be a certain style. So this is about image change in the world. Now in America, there's a show called Complete Makeover. I don't know whether you've seen the show. A Complete Makeover, where people go under the knife. That means go for surgery. Alright? Cosmetic surgery. So when these people go through this complete makeover, and coming out of it, they look a totally new person. They have a new look. Alright, maybe, you know, without double eyelid. Now, after going through the surgery, they could have double eyelid. Singapore followed these kind of shows in the States. And we have a show called The Perfect Cut. Okay. Now, the idea of this show is to tell the world that there is a possibility of having an image change. So that you will be able to present yourself better before others, before the company that you intend to work with. Now the question is this self-image change a complete change? It is not. You see, this is mere outward. If you are looking for outward change, yes. Yes, you know, single eyelid can become double eyelid, right? Yeah. But we are talking about an inner total change of life. It is a change in life. Right? And this change is a radical change. In the beginning, I told you about this Hui Ling. You know, Hui Ling tried to change, but he could not. She could not. Until she found Christ. Then was there a complete change. But was there a change in her look? No. It was a change, a complete change, in the sense that her nature is changed. Her pursuit is changed. She no longer goes after drugs, fashion, you know. Her desire now is the Lord Jesus Christ. C.H. Spurgeon remarked of this radical change. It is a root and branch change, not an alteration of the walls only, but of the foundation, not a new figuring of a visible tapestry, but a renewal of the fabric itself. Regeneration is a change of the entire nature from top to bottom in all senses and respect. In other words, it is a new man, a new building, and the Bible calls it a new creation. See, once someone wanted to buy over a building, in fact this is true, it's in London. A man wanted to buy over an old building. The person who wanted to sell him this property took him to look at the building. The building was very broken down. The windows were smashed, there were plenty of rubbish. And the rooms, we understand why. If a building is unoccupied, you know, vagabonds, or we call them the homeless, will occupy the place. Alright, and they will eat and they will just, rubbish is all over. The sellers told the man, I will do up the entire place for you if you decide to buy the building. The buyer says, no, we don't have to. He says, you don't have to repair the building. My intention is, when I buy over the building, I'm going to make it completely new. I want the site and not the building. Okay? Now, this is what God wants to do with our life. He's not trying to make us look well outside. He wants to change us completely. Secondly, not only it is a radical change, we see that this change comes as a result of divine working. To put that simply, such change cannot be the work of mere man. Neither can it be the result of abiding to certain principles and law. See, principle and law cannot change a person. In fact, the word of God itself cannot change a person. Just like many of the Jews have read the word of God, but they remained unsaved. The change can only come if a man or a woman decides to be in Christ. And when he or she is in Christ, then can God begin to work in his or her life. Creation is the work of God. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, we are told that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now the word create comes from the Hebrew word bara, which means to create or to make something out of nothing. God, who has the power to create something out of nothing, to make life out of something that is lifeless, is the only person who can recreate in us a new man. So I say that this change can only come about through the divine working in our lives. See, when man sins, the physical world goes into a state of degeneration. Okay? It is never evolving into a better state. It is degenerating. And we are told that the ultimate destiny of man and the world is death. However, God sent his Son to die for man so that we can live a new life. Thirdly, we see that this change has a remarkable distinction. It can be observed clearly. You can see it very clearly. The change in life of a believer is noticeable to both himself and to others. I said earlier on that it's not an image change, but rather it is a life change. There are clear signs of changes in the person's nature and character. And I want to tell you, I want to give you three areas of change in a person's character. First of all, see that when a person is in Christ, he will not allow sin to control his life. Okay? A genuine Christian has this desire, that he will not allow sin to control his life. He's very careful. And the carefulness comes, as I've said in the morning, that he has deep reverence for God. Secondly, he does not conform to the world. A Christian is careful with the things of the world, because he knows that the world is fallen in its nature. Now, by the way, the word world comes from the Greek word where we get our English word cosmetic, cosmos. Alright? And Bible commentators would tell us that the word cosmos in Greek means a physical world. But this physical world has a different ruler from the Creator. We are told that this world is fallen in sin. And the god of this world is the devil. So when John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world,
He's obviously telling us not to love the things that is controlled by Satan. Okay. Obviously, he's not talking about nature, the beautiful nature. All right. When I say, "Oh, I love the beautiful sceneries in Lake District," that is created by God. But we are talking about a fallen world, a world that is controlled by Satan and his cohorts. Cohorts are people, the fallen angels, working with him with the intention of working towards a rebellion towards God and his work. So you see, the world is something that is in opposition to God. Anything that is in opposition to God is the world. So when John says, "Love not the world," he meant not to love those things that operates in opposition to God. So we are careful not to be participants in these activities or in any organization that works in opposition to God. Lastly, we'll see this distinguished mark in the life of a person who is in Christ. He will not allow anything to hinder his spiritual walk with God. I want to put it simply. As Christians, we know that there are some basic duties. The duties of spending time with God in daily devotion. The duties of worship on the Lord's Day. See, when a person is in Christ and his character is changed, he will not absent himself or herself from worship service. This person will endeavor to serve God and participate in the ministry of the church because he knows that this is the primary calling of a Christian. We hope to see this distinguishing marks or signs in every believer. We need to exhibit a life that is truly in Christ. Therefore, in our life, we love God and hate those things that are evil. In our life, we will be very careful so that we will not allow anything to hinder our walk and our relationship with God. Okay, and this is truly the mark of a person who is in Christ. I've said right in the beginning that the purpose of this message is to encourage you in the faith. And to do so, it is important that we examine our own life. Now, are we truly in Christ? And if we are, we should be a new creation, a new creation in Christ. Secondly, I want to encourage you by telling you that there is hope. There is hope. Now, if God can do the work of grace in our life, okay, the grace of salvation, the grace of changing us, right, from a sinner to a saint, then I want to tell you that there is hope that we can live a life unto perfection. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Be ye perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect." Matthew chapter 5 verse 48. Now what does that word perfect there means? Obviously he's not talking about sinless perfection. Right? The word perfect there means to come to an end. What end is that? It means a matured state. Alright, to come to a matured state. So therefore when Jesus says, "Be ye perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect," he is telling us or giving us this challenge to strive unto spiritual maturity. And when we attain spiritual maturity, that is perfection in the sight of God. But then you may say, how can we be spiritually perfect? We are living in a sinful world. Our flesh is weak. There's so much temptation. I can't close my eyes from looking at the temptation around me. Now, if God can work that work of grace in changing our life, then I'm sure God can do the work of lesser grace, that is to aid us, to help us to grow unto spiritual maturity. The question is, are we willing? Do we desire to attain spiritual maturity? When we are in Christ, we have the hope of attaining spiritual maturity. And I'm sure you have and you want to. Pray that God will enable us in this city, in the area that God has put us in, that we will strive hard by God's grace to attain spiritual maturity, because we are already in Christ. Thank God. We are already in Christ, and that one day we shall be with Christ forever. I hope this short exhortation will be an encouragement to you. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, I pray that